We'll call the committee to order. We do not have a quorum yet, but we're going to do the first bill. Just out of fairness, it's a capital investment bill that was referred to our committee, and we needed to get our bills out last week was the deadline. So we thought we'd have Representative Ellison come in and present his bill to us so the committee knows a little bit more about it. I do have to present tomorrow in the Capital Investment Committee, so at least I thought I'll know what I'm talking about a little bit more as we go to bonding. And I'm not sure, are either of you on the bonding committee? You are, okay. So you, Representative Solberg will be there as well to help out.
I will not be there tomorrow.
But he won't be there tomorrow, okay. So I'm on my own. Good morning, Representative Ellison. I'm trying to see what bill number it is. That's
2997.
2997, okay. And I see Mr. Erickson's here to help out as well. So good morning, and if you could just explain your bill and your project a little bit.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. Thank you all for allowing me to come here to present. This bill is for a new track and field facility, not the whole facility, but the track itself at the National Sports Center. Mr. Chair, I have to confess that I have a personal experience that brought me to making this proposal. I'm a fanatical track and field fan. I was a track athlete myself. My kids run track now, and I've always really thought that we should have a premier track and field facility in the state of Minnesota. And last year, when my 17-year-old son, who was a high school junior, was running at the 4x1 at the high school state meet, which they came in second, by the way, somebody leaned over and said, you know, it's too bad they're not going to be running here next year. I'm like, well, why not? This is a great facility. You can see the track. You can see all the races. You can see the 100 meters. You can see the whole the longer races. You can see the shot put. It's a great facility. But the person I talked to told me that because the track had not been resurfaced in a very long time, that it had spots in it and it was wearing down. My son told me that he almost tripped, you know, and was worried about injury, and told me there were some grooves and soft spots, and that the track surface itself was in bad need of repair. So I got together with some of my colleagues in the northern suburban area, Representative Westerberg and Bernardi, who are co-authors, and got together and pulled this bill together. So with that, I would like to ask Mr. Erickson if he can give us some more detailed information about the track and the necessity for resurfacing. So,
Mr. Erickson, good morning.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Representative Ellison. Just so that everybody has the backdrop on this, the background, the state high school meet has been held at the National Sports Center for 17 years since the facility opened in 1990. And I think if you polled the track and field community, that the National Sports Center in Blaine is the best site for all the considerations, parking, stadium, other amenities, the indoor track right there. The only thing that that we're lacking is that since the facility opened in 1990, that the tracks generally have a, you know, 15 to 20 year life, it's worn. And instead of the nice texture on it, it's getting smoother. So if it's a wet day, it can be slippery. And as Representative Ellison said, there are subtle depressions. We believe the track is still safe, but it's not in top standard anymore. And there's a letter that the National Sports Center sent to all the state high school athletic directors and track and field coaches and said, you know, here are the reasons why. The National Sports Center is a state-owned facility, but it receives no city, county, or state subsidy. The National Sports Center has been able to cover its operating costs, but it cannot produce enough net revenue to do the 20-year capital replacements of roofs or parking lots or the track. And so the State High School League made a decision to move the event from the National Sports Center to Hamlin. And I just want everyone to know, we made a proposal to the State High School League and said, look, if there is a $300,000-$400,000 fix, that perhaps we can share that expense together. And the high school league flatly said, we're not in the business of paying for facility improvements. We're just here to rent facilities. And so they rejected that proposal, and so we're at the state we are right now. So basically, you can still do low-level high school or community track events. It is still a safe track, but it's lost its high-quality standard. And so from a National Sports Center point of view, we didn't feel that with the state's financial budget circumstances that it would be prudent that we'd be successful to bring a measure, so our board has not done that. Obviously, we have the Rochester National Volleyball Center before you as our sole capital project. I do have one other handout that might just illustrate, you know, the track really is symbolic or indicative of some other long-term capital issues we're going to have, and I think it's important for me just to mention that while we have this opportunity. You're going to be getting a handout that shows you that the standards by which you judge the Amateur Sports Commission, that we believe we've met your expectation. If you look at statewide, the economic impact from our facilities has gone from less than $10 million to almost $70 million. Attendance at all the facilities is approaching $5 million annually. And then the second sheet, the NSC alone, of that statewide $70 million, almost and over half of it occurs, the economic benefit at the National Sports Center, and National Sports Center attendance is going up every year. But then if you look at the third sheet, because of state budget constraints, our budget, you know, has, as you can see the chart, is heading pretty steeply downwards, now at $210,000 a year for the next biennium. And the key graph is the graph that's entitled NSC Revenue and Expense. If you look at how we've managed the state facility and we're covering the operating costs, but if you look at the expense and revenue line, they almost match. The average net revenue over our 18-year history is like $70,000. And obviously, we're paying the heat and lights, we're paying the staff, we're cutting the grass, we're emptying the waste baskets, but that doesn't produce enough net revenue to either pay the costs of the Amateur Sports Commission or to cover our long-term capital replacement costs. If you turn the last page, you'll see that there was a report done by Admin which confirmed that while this is the only state facility that covers its operating costs, there is not enough net revenue to cover the agency or capital replacement. And here is the list that will be before us between the years 08 and 012 with the track repairs at the top of the list. And there's going to be some other issues. And so, as you know, we presented a solution last session that the land lease or sports mall project could, in fact, accomplish the recovering the cost of the agency and long-term perhaps make a contribution to these 20-year capital replacement issues. Now, I'll make one final comment, then we'll open it up for others. But there are two levels of fixes for the track. There's the 7 to 10-year fix, which is in the $300,000 to $400,000 range, which I think would cause an issue for using capital bond proceeds because it's not a 20-year capital investment. There is a complete rebuilding of the track, which would then give you the 20-25-year life, and that's in the $1 million category. That's digging up the whole surface and putting a new asphalt or concrete base. That's a major fix. So, but you'll see here there are some issues that we're going to face, and our agency last session presented a solution so that we could do the agency costs and these fixes without impacting the state budget. But you have a current situation before you, and we'll be happy to answer any additional questions.
Do you have questions on the graphs or the charts? Or Mr. Erickson, on the back page that had track repairs at $300,000 and the bill is at $400,000? Is that just the numbers were rough at the time?
Right. And okay. There is a range because there are several bids from different companies. And, of course, there's several fixes. You can have the 3/8-inch overlay or the half-inch. So there is some, variances of level of quality of the fix that you can perform.
The other question I had in regard to attendance, if you have somebody who's signed up for youth hockey or something and they come to the facility, say, 30 times a year, are they counted 30 times, or are they counted as one person once, and you actually have almost 3.5 million visitors, or is it, you know, it's kind of like the hamburger right. from McDonald's, they count the Big Mac twice because it's got two patties in it? How is it calculated?
If your son or daughter was in a hockey league and they had 10 sessions, they're counted every time they visit the facility.
Okay.
And that's the same way that the Metrodome and Target Center and Mall of
okay.
America counts visitors.
So it's kind of a standardized,
right.
the way they count attendance.
Right.
Okay, no, that's fair. I just was kind of curious about that.
Yeah.
Okay, are there any other questions from Representative Solberg?
Mr. Chair, Mr. Easton, have you had a conversation with bond counsel, Mr. Salson, anybody from that agency concerning the ability for us to use general obligation bonds, or is it just your assumption that we need $1 million for GO and you can't use it, the other part for bonding proceeds, the fix?
Mr. Erickson?
Representative Solberg, Mr. Chairman, it's just my experience and when we've built facilities of what they say qualifies, and generally they want 20-year capital assets that have at least a 20-year life before they want to use state bond proceeds.
I understand that, but
we do not have an opinion.
Okay, I would like to have the opinion,
okay.
if you could.
Okay, we'll check on with Senate Counsel.
We make a...
Ms. Roberts,
Mr. Chair, and Representative Solberg, I actually have had a conversation
okay.
with people from the Department of Finance, and they would agree that the 7 to 9 year life is too short to qualify for a general
yeah.
obligation bond.
And but they've also one other question, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Solberg,
have they ascertained that the $400,000 repair is only that length of life?
Ms. Roberts,
Mr. Chairman, Representative Solberg, that actually was the estimated life of that project was provided by the director of the National Sports Center, so that information came from them, and they made our discussion was based on that information.
And have you verified the life cycle of that with contractors, Mr. Erickson?
Mr. Erickson.
Representative Solberg, Mr. Chairman, the companies who performed that overlay, that's their company's estimated useful life as they represent their product and service.
Okay.
Any other questions in relation to this? So in order to be bondable, it has to be more expensive, or the life of the project needs to be longer, or a little of both?
Mr. Chair, I don't think the expense of the cost of the project matters. It's the life of the project. And I could check with finance. I'm not sure it has to be exactly 20 years, but 7 to 9 years is certainly below the threshold.
Well, Mr. Chair, it would be interesting to have that information of but if we're going to repair it, let's do it right and see if we can also bond it and see if we can get some estimates on what that cost should be.
Representative Ellison?
I was just going to say, I think Representative Solberg makes an excellent point. I'm not sure exactly how to fix it up, but I will work with him and you, Mr. Chair, to get us where we need to be.
And you did make the neutral recommendation list, so without coming to us personally, but we'll try to
next year
try to fix it up.
That happens a lot, Representative Moore.
Discovered some things. So we appreciate you coming in this morning. We didn't want to take you away from dialing for delegates, but someone said that they probably wouldn't want to be called at 8 o'clock in the morning either. So we appreciate the fact that you came in this morning and shared the bill with us.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Representative Loeffler, you've been waiting patiently for some more details on the Ford building as it relates to the Capitol and the swing space.
Do we have a quorum yet?
Okay, we do have a quorum present, so I'll officially call the meeting to order. The chair will move House File 3600, and actually, since we do have details on this, Representative Loeffler, I would like to send the bill as amended to the Capital Investment Committee as a standalone bill. Is there any member that would object to doing that? We said we would try to get more details, and since we haven't given our formal presentation to Capital Investment, I'd like to send this to Capital Investment as a standalone bill.
Sound okay?
All right. So the chair will move that House File number 3600 be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the Committee on Capital Investment. Representative Loeffler, you have a DE1 amendment. Does that shape up this with amounts, or is it?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This actually shapes up the language, and if you'd like, I can review what's in it.
Okay, if you would, please, that'll give us an idea of what we're voting on. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And members, this is an opportunity to work out a number of complex issues between restoration of the Capitol and the Ford building. And they're both intertwined, and the complexity of it, I think, has sometimes been challenging. But I think the end result is a way to actually save some general fund dollars by doing the two together and allowing our state government or legislature to function smoothly during the transition. And in the end result, we'll get a restored Capitol and a new state office building in the Capitol complex. And so what this amendment does, and I'll just walk you briefly through it, both buildings are mentioned together because the dollars are intertwined. And if you don't do the Ford building at the same time we're doing the Capitol restoration, then you have to put more money into the Capitol line item here. And so there's trade-offs here. But first, we appropriate money to the Capitol Area Architectural Planning Board to complete the design for the interior restoration of the East Wing. As you'll recall, this is to be a phased restoration of our Capitol. Some states have actually closed down their Capitol for years and done the whole thing at once, but we've decided it'd be less disruptive to do it in a phased process. The first phase would be the East Wing, which this would provide for planning for redoing the East Wing, as well as full restoration of the dome. Doing the dome first will allow us to have it completed in time for our sesquicentennial celebration in 2008. And it will also save to the people we're investing in it. There was at one time a couple of years ago a thought that we might be able to approach this in a different way, and that we're clearly convinced that this is a citizen's expectation that we are going to improve the Capitol with taxpayer dollars. And the last line under 1.10 is to appropriate funding for the Ford building restoration so that it can be used as a temporary office space, or sometimes referred to as swing space, during the restoration of the Capitol. The original request to do the East Wing of the Capitol was for $26.4 million in capital bonding dollars to fully do the East Wing. And in discussions with various individuals, it was decided that this was a phased approach might work just as well, to start first with the design, preparing the swing space, and then having, after the design by the professional architects that have just been secured, have finished the design, then do the bonding for the East Wing next year in 2007, so that when we have some really good solid numbers based on their fully analyzing the needs of the building. And so that's the section two, is a report back to let us know what our consulting team has come up with restoration costs in partnership with the tenant advisory committee. Section three of the bill, is saying that the money that's needed to restore the building will be appropriated and will not be reflected in the rents of the Ford building when it's completed. And this is a policy statement that comes out of the Ford Building Committee, where we realized that part of the reason why the Ford Building wasn't a competitive building for other state offices was because the rents were so high. And we don't think that any state agency that happens to be located in a historic building should be punished and have to absorb in their operating budgets the cost of maintaining what is really a statewide resource. And so this is implementing that recommendation, and that there'd be a separate appropriation then to handle just the payment of the bonds for the Ford building. The repair funding for the repair of the Capitol Dome, last year we enacted legislation asking that private funds be sought for restoration of the dome. And the Centennial Commission and its staff really did a valiant effort, and they raised a lot of money for the Centennial events, and had hoped to kick off really an endowment that could help to pay for renovation of the Capitol. And yet, even with the best fundraisers in the Twin Cities who have lots of experience doing this, working on it, they came back and they said the corporate and foundation donors of our community said, that's a state taxpayer obligation. That's what you should do in state government, is take care of the buildings that you own. And they were willing to step up to do the centennial events. They were willing to step up to look at renovation of historic artifacts that you can't bond for, such as restoring the Civil War flags. And so the Friends of the Capitol are working on using that interest to complement what we can bond for. And so we're in Section 5 taking away that expectation that would be private fundraising that would do the restoration of the Don. And then Section 5, as I understand, standard bond sale language.
Okay. Did you, Representative Loeffler, did you have some amounts that you wanted to put in on page 1?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I believe we've got to stretch every dollar as much as we can, and I'm pleased to report that we can actually rearrange some of the dollars that the committee preliminary came up with last time and make it work. Under line 1.7, the $6.1 million could become $3,184,000.
This is on the original bill?
And I'm sorry, I'm on the original bill. On the amendment, it would be line 1.5.
So how much again?
$3,184,000. The $2.9 million difference there is the relocation, double bunking, moving costs that would be incurred if we had to go out and buy, you know, rent private space while it all happened. And I understand while the senators are still debating what they're going to do with space, double bunking is maybe not something they want to do. And on line 1.10, which is the appropriation for the restoration of the Ford building, $13,400,000, which would mean a total of $16,584,000. I believe your recommendations were for 16.1 in your preliminary discussions last week.
6.1.
Ms. Roberts?
Mr. Chair, members, Representative Loeffler is correct. The recommendations approved by the committee last week were $6.1 million for the CAP board, which would now be reduced to the $3.184, and then $10 million for the Ford building, which was now increased to $13.4 million. So the original recommendations were for 16.1 for two projects.
Representative Solberg?
Mr. Chair, and somebody. In my discussion with the Commissioner of Administration and Representative Rhodes as well, I thought that there was that the 13.4 would be the number you'd have to use if you had permanent walls. And it seems to me that if we're going to use swing space, that it would not be necessary to have permanent walls, that we could rent little cubicles. Lots of people work in cubicles. Maybe I need to have some clarification on that.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Solberg, and I'll let administration staff add on if they'd like to. Because of the building's condition, it doesn't have a heating plant right now. It's electrical. Everything is totally out of date. They are basically going to have to sort of rebuild the building in the inside. And how you design the heating plant and other things can sometimes be dependent upon, you know, sort of whether you have open space, whether you have enclosed offices, you know, what its long-term goal would be and its long-term utilization. And so a range of, you know, $10 million to $13.4 was sort of thrown out as sort of without having done any detailed planning, without really even doing any of the kind of work that you need to know what your real costs are going to be in a building. They have felt like if they had the 13.34, they would have a chance to really finish out the building, but it could be done with, and we had some discussion yesterday, with movable walls, the suspended walls, so that we actually end up with a very flexible space, which to me is maybe a design model that we should look at in general. I have worked in the Hennepin County Government Center that for 25 years has undergone various renovations and reuse of various floors as technology has changed, and they actually just move the walls around. Even just while using it as the swing space for the Capitol, will have different needs because there's different types of departments in the east wing versus the west wing versus the north wing. And so having it as flexible as possible is a value, but I'd be glad to have someone from administration who knows more about the construction trade than I discuss that.
I mean, the senators would like cubicles, the governor doesn't?
Mr. Chair and Representative Solberg, I can say that I think the Senate is just beginning the dialogue involving the people who would be affected on what type of space they would want. And there's some people who say, well, I remember the good old days in the Mechanic Arts Building, and we can go back there. And then there's staff and Senate Counsel and Research who will be relocated in the there in the East Wing. And I personally couldn't imagine being one of those people who are asked to do complex drafting and, you know, deal with things in a pressure cooker kind of time frame, and have them working in sort of a bullpen atmosphere and thinking that they're going to be able to do that kind of drafting. But that's for, you know, the senators and the planning that's going to happen and that would be funded out of this bill will actually in more depth sort of explore that. And if we do have to, you know, and that's why we suggest doing the board building right now, so that it's ready to be used and we don't have to look at trying to displace other state agencies out of a Centennial Building or some other building that isn't convenient to campus and that could meet those needs.
Okay, who from admin would like to jump in on movable, suspendable walls?
Mr. Chair, members, for the record, Nikki Giancola from the Department of Administration. I would just support what Representative Loffler gave you here. We did have a discussion yesterday about flexibility, about demountable or movable walls. I think all those are possibilities, but as she said, a detailed design has not been worked out yet. That's part of the 13.4 is design fees to work on that. But that would be our goal and objective, is to get that building as flexible as we can so that it could be future reuse is more of a permanent thing, not temporary.
Representative Solberg.
For informational purposes only, would you be able to give us the two things, the time frame for the design and the cost of the design itself, as we make decisions? Usually you have design first and then come back in for the rest of it. I understand some urgency in this one, but I'd like to have those broken down.
Mr. Chair and Representative Solberg, we do have that. The design piece of it is a little over $1 million. It's $1.6 million for schematic, DD, construction drawings, and construction oversight. And the time frame for design would run estimated from July of this year through, well, all the way through the whole construction, meaning construction oversight as well, which is part of that design, would be July of 2008. So that's the full length of the project. Schematic and design development would be July of this year through December. That's our estimated time frame.
Through December of
this year, 2006.
Representative De La Forest.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think just a question for the author. I'm sorry, I must have missed it. We went from 6.1 to 3.184 for the appropriation. Why was that?
Mr. Chair and Representative De La Forest, that was because there was originally $2.9 million set aside for transition space, rental, moving costs, relocation that can actually be paid for out of general fund dollars rather than bonding dollars in next year's regular operating budget. And if we have the board building on board, we think that number can be reduced by about $2 million. So that's part of why I'm enthused about doing the two things together, because there's some real cost savings in doing it. In the end, we have a good building and I think a better space to the rest of the neighborhood.
One follow-up, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. In the 3.184, how much is that in terms of what is going to be needed to completely do the to completely execute the renovation plan that's envisioned? Are we sort of going for half the loaf here, or a quarter, or the whole thing?
Mr. Chair and Representative De La Forest, what I had talked about earlier is that originally this has been always been planned to be a phased restoration, starting with the east wing, then doing the west wing, and then moving to the north. This takes us into a little different phasing. This bill would phase one would be the design of the east wing and restoration of the dome. So that's what this proposal would fund. then we would consider a bonding request in 2007 for the cost of renovating the east wing, and then it would proceed on. But so we're kind of creating a new phase here. One is design planning for the east wing, and then next year consideration of actually funding it. That was the original $26.4 million request. Nancy Stark is here from the Capital Architecture Area Planning Board. If you have further questions about sort of the full project.
No, Mr. Chairman, in respect committee time, we don't need that. Just I guess it's a philosophical or strategic question about how much do you ask for. You know, I suppose the less you ask for, the more unobtrusive you may appear to the full Capital Investments Committee. But on the other hand, perhaps there are propitious times to ask for money, and maybe next year won't be as favorable. I don't know. I suppose that's an amount of guesswork in the final analysis. It's just my simple comment, Mr. Chairman, and I think that this project came out number one in our bonding recommendations, and it is a very worthwhile project, and I think this whole committee on a bipartisan basis is very supportive of it. So, you know, I throw that out there maybe for veteran hands like Solberg and Cotton about whether or not we're doing the right thing by sort of asking for a little amount of money instead of more.
Representative Cotton?
Well, Mr. Chairman, that was actually the point I was going to make. You know, like, you always go back to what the founding father's original intent was. But in the old days, we always did bonding. We did bonding in three stages, actually. First, we first did design, and then we went to working drawings, and then we did the final construction of the building. And only recently, it's kind of gotten fast track. And I actually do think you got a better product by doing that. Now, there may be some cases where you're totally ready to go, but I just think it's a better way to do all our projects.
Didn't we say that the dome was the number one piece? We really wanted that done by the 150th.
But that's all been planned out. That's
right, but that, you know, that takes care of that and planning of the east wing, I guess. Before anything else, how do I get one of those, and how much do they cost?
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, this was is borrowed by Denise from our house staff. I'm sorry, I can't remember Denise's last name in our accounting section here. And she tells me she purchased it about 10 years ago from Marshall Fields. It's apparently part of that Department 56 collection that you can do a Christmas display of all different things. They have Mickey's Cafe Diner and things. So they did one of the Capitol buildings.
Mr. Chair.
So eBay, I would suggest, Mr. Chair.
Is that healthy? Do you have an extra one in your closet?
No, but I thought when Representative Lawford put that up there at first that that must be the redesign of the Ford building.
That's where the Senate will now have a building that looks somewhat like that.
If we put them in charge of the redesign of the
I don't want to pass that around because someone might break it. So, you know, it could fall. Don't you have a story, Phyllis, where they passed around something? And
yes, it was the fight over the state fossil. and the fight was for the Ohioan beaver or something, and the Science Museum had lent us, fortunately, not the original cast, but a plastic cast, and at one point it fell off Ann Winnie's desk, and so there were all kinds of people trying to put it together and cover the crack.
Do we have a state fossil?
No. The bill died as well as the artifact. Well, Mr. Chairman, if I just continue a little bit.
Sure,
this was one of those things that was done by two little kids from some school someplace, and it passed the Senate. My senator, Larry Pogonol, was carrying it in the Senate. And the bill had passed the Senate. It was our job to kill it in the House. And my position was not against the state fossil. It was just that this is the wrong state fossil. Characteristic. And there was a front page story, you know, when it talked. And here these poor two little kids. my husband, who's a professor and has important professorial work to do, he's called out of some meeting in an absolute emergency. He goes to the phone. Turns out it's the father of one of these kids who once was one of his students calling to complain about. But the final story was is that there was a big front page story in the paper focused on these kids that looked like they had been drawn by Norman Rockwell to come up. And it said, you know, they were doing okay until they met this true power in the House who stopped them cold. The only time I've ever been called a true power is when I'm stomping on 10-year-old kids.
Well,
Mr. Chair,
there's one other part of the story. She said that she was didn't like the fossil that was it. She wanted herself to be named.
Not at that time.
Oh, okay.
The lobbyist's advice to the kids as they were leaving was try and put it in the tax bill.
All right. Okay, we have the amendment DE1 with the amounts. Representative Kahn, would you move DE1 as an amendment?
Yes.
Okay, with the and incorporate the numbers that Representative Loeffler talked about. So, members, we have the DE1 amendment. Is there any discussion? Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Okay, the amendment's adopted. We now have the bill as amended.
Chair, just one question. Representative Solberg. For clarification purposes, if I may. When the 3148 or 184, how much of that is for the cap of the dome itself?
Ms. Stark?
Mr. Chair, Nancy Stark with the cap board. 1.384 okay. is for the repair and restoration of the dome, and that does include the issue of water intrusion that I described a week ago.
Very good.
Okay, are there any other questions on the bill or questions for the witnesses that we have here?
Thank you.
Okay, members, we're going to pass this bill as a standalone to the Capital Investment Committee now that we actually have some details and some meat on the board. Are there any people in the audience who wish to testify for or against the bill before that it moves? Yes, sir. Come on down. You can identify yourself for the record and proceed.
Good morning. My name is John Arlinson, and I'm representing Christ Church on Capitol Hill, Lutheran Church on Capitol Hill, which is your neighbor across the street. We had representatives appear before this committee in February of last year, coming to ask the committee not to tear down the Ford building. We then, as it went forward, we went and met with members of the conference committee in May, and we said don't tear down the Ford building. The committee had representatives from our congregation put on the working group. I was one of those that served on the working group, and I'm here to thank the committee, to thank the members of the working group on keeping the Ford building from being destroyed, but also working toward the future of what that can be. And it's important to us because we are part of the community, and I listened to the testimony last week and today. And a lot of what went on in the working group had to do with the economics of this, the details on the financing, the different uses, the restrictions bonding may have put on it, and so forth. But it also has a community face. And we got involved because of the community. We feel it's a very important, the community is very important to the future of the Capitol, and the board building is part of that. In fact, the Cap Board, Planning Board, in their vision plan, started out with the purpose, which is interesting, and if you get a chance to read it. So the purpose of the comprehensive plan is to give form to the vision for a capital area that is memorable as a symbolic heart of the state and as a good and responsive neighbor to those who live and work nearby. In recent decades, the physical separation and cultural distance have grown between the capital area and the capital city. Now, our congregation was started, the first church was built in 1868, the current church was built in 1910, the Ford building was built in 1913. So we have been around for quite a while. I was thinking about, we know the cost of restoration. We had our own leak in our own dome a few years ago, and we had to, we call it a roof. We're a little more modest about it. We call it a roof, and we had to get some funding for that was very substantial for the size of our community. We had a vision of the Ford building which could involve some community uses, which being in the community outside of the offices is going to provide some space for sometime maybe after 8 to 5. It may provide government agency services, which are important to the people that live and work around there. So I just wanted to remind the committee that, and this has become an important issue. We met in after the legislature passed the keeping it from run down. We had a town hall meeting at the church discussing economic issues around included in the neighborhood, which includes the central corridor, the Ford building, and some other issues. We had 72 people there, included business people, representatives from the police department in the city. Our community is concerned about the neighborhood. They're concerned about the rise in crime, some of the economic decline which is occurring there. We're going out. We've met with businesses along Rice Street University. We've set up a new coalition of university Rice Street business people, including representatives from the League of Cities, the bank on university, other business people. We're trying to bring some life and keep the future of this community going forward. The Ford building is a very important physical and visible symbol for the community. And so we're here to thank you for the work you've done and to urge you to keep this going forward. I think for the building to be in deterioration for more years is going to provide some public safety issues, probably, if nothing else, because the bricks have fallen down and just about a year ago exactly. Some bricks have fallen down. So that's why I'm here this morning. Pastor Susan Chernohoy could not be here. She had a previous commitment down in Luther College in Iowa. But she wanted me to make sure that she thanked you and all the members of this committee that also served on the working group.
Okay. Any questions for this witness? Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Okay, we have the bill as amendment. The chair will renew his motion that House Bill 3600 be recommended to pass as amended and be re-referred to the Committee on Capital Investment. Any discussion? Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. And the bill passes. We also need a separate motion to amend our spreadsheet that will be presented in Capital Investment. I'll have Ms. Roberts amend it and have her and Mr. Shipman work out getting the new amended version to the Capital Investment Committee so when we present, we've got the fresh information. Ms. Roberts, what would we be amending here?
Mr. Chair and members, there are two changes. The first change is on the first recommendation, the CAP Board, Capital Building Interior Renovation. The number would change from $6,100,000 to $3,184,000. And then the next change is on line about seven lines down. House file would now be 3,600, Representative Loeffler's bill. The number would change from $10 million to $13,400,000.
Any discussion? The chair will move those changes. And that reflects what we did today, members. Okay, the chair will move those changes to the spreadsheet. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Okay, we'll be presenting that tomorrow on Capital Investment. Representative Loeffler, thank you for all your work on this issue.
Thank you, and thank you to all the members of the committee who participated in the Ford building discussion, as well as to the community members who were also part of that. I think that everyone's contributions enriched what ended up as the final result.
Wonderful. We just want to have a brief discussion. We do have some folks here from Office of Administrative Hearings, as long as the admin is here, just to chat for a couple minutes about the space over in the Stassen building, as long as we're here talking about usable space and swing space and leases and so forth. If someone would come down from admin that knows a little bit about the Stassen building, the committee had a few questions last week about the true cost of being able to make this building work when the lease expires over Minneapolis. And we thought instead of talking out of turn, we'd just bring the players involved here as long as we had a couple minutes. And Ms. Jean Cole, do you want to handle this piece? About how much it would take to get that building up to snuff and so forth. And what the time frame would be as well.
Mr. Chair, just hang on one second.
Sure.
Here, give this one. Okay.
record. Representative De La Forest moves the approval of the minutes from the last meeting, which was on Wednesday, March 15th. Any corrections, deletions, changes? Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The minutes are approved. And the members, while she's looking for that information, let me give you a tentative schedule. Wednesday, tomorrow, we're planning on hearing two state auditor bills of Representative Erickson's and the veterans package by Representative Severson, which will be moving out as a separate bill in terms of its package form, but the omnibus bill will probably contain at least the policy items. We're not sure about finance yet. I'm planning a meeting with DFL members to talk about provisions for the omnibus bill this Thursday from 1:30 to 2:30. Where's that going to be at? In my office. Next Tuesday, we are planning on discussing the nonprofit reform bill that I had referred here from last year's GovOps meeting. We have a modest compromise that we're going to offer. And then we also have a Bisgans bill on post-retirement funds that will be brought to us. And then we think we will be able to unveil our omnibus bill on Tuesday. And on Wednesday, we will continue with discussions. The Council on Black Minnesotans, Senator Cascaden had a hearing last week on the number of findings from the legislative auditor. I believe there were 16 findings, which is quite a few. So we're going to have a little hearing just in regard to what's going on there. And then we will have discussion on the omnibus bill. We would like to have amendments brought to the committee as soon as possible so we can mark that up. If members feel comfortable, we can send the bill to Ways and Means on Wednesday, or we could wait until Thursday and reconvene, and if just whatever members feel is comfortable. If you think that's too rushed or whatnot, we certainly can do that later. A lot of that will depend on how many amendments that we have offered. And then somewhere along the line, the 3/8 or 1/16 or 4/8, I'm not sure what they're up to. The bidding war up in the tax committee continues today, and we're not sure when we're going to get the 3/8, 3/16 or whatever it's called bill, but we will have that sent to our committee next because it's a constitutional amendment. And there's a cost incurred for Secretary of State, et cetera. So that bill will be referred to us at some point, and it may get kind of lodged in here. And that is a bill that we would want amendments in writing before we mark. We don't want to do, especially particularly constitutional amendments, they don't like having on-the-fly amendments. So we're going to try to give all the members notice when we're going to hear it and then ask that any members have amendments submitted in writing by 3 p.m. the day before that we're going to hear the bill. So we would like to get our omnibus bill out by the 30th. We're just going to kind of have a various number of bills referred to our committee. We'll see what we get. And then whatever provisions, some of the DFL members have already given me provisions they'd like to see included. So Mark's actually kind of working on those. And then if there's anything missing, any member can, of course, offer amendments when we mark the bill up. Any questions on the... And then we are planning on doing a Stargate tour sometime in... sometime in April, and then we're also planning on doing another visit to the state auction site sometime in April before they have their auction so we can see all the goodies they have to sell. Representative Solberg.
Mr. Chair, has it been decided if there's going to be an omnibus bill or several omnibus bills?
My understanding right now, Representative Solberg, I met with Senator Cascaden yesterday for an hour, is that there will be a tax bill, a bonding bill. There may be a judiciary bill / judiciary finance bill. We are planning to have a state government bill, but we are not sure if it will include state government finances or just include policies and changes to certain things and some things that should get done, whatever. And Senator Cascade and I are moving on that thought process. Now, we have some things that we could change around internally, finance-wise, that could glean out some money, but it's nothing that's going to be in the millions and millions that I think would benefit a whole lot of things. The Senate would like to have, my understanding, one big finance bill that's outside of taxes and judiciary, but those discussions haven't been firmed up yet. But Senator Cascade and I are planning on having a state government bill. We would start with it, send it over to the Senate. Our House file would get referred to her committee, and then she would bring it back through the process. So that's what we're kind of operating under right now.
And one other question, maybe to Ms. Roberts. Do we have a spreadsheet of the governor's proposal for our committee?
Mr. Chair, yes, I do have one prepared. I can either give you a copy or email it to all the committee members. There were five items, I believe, that were in the governor's recommendation, including the veterans package.
I believe three or four of those are veterans items, which we will hear in the Steverson bill tomorrow.
Mr. Chair, if you want, I can take 2 minutes and tell you what they are. The first item is a PEEP expansion for school districts and local governments. DOER has a proposal to kind of revamp the existing public employees insurance program. And the financing from that is from the Health Care Access Fund. It's $2.2 million, or $2.3 million, excuse me, for both years. The second change is the Office of Enterprise Technology has a proposal for IT security enhancement, and they are requesting approximately $3 million for that initiative.
That is general fund.
All of the rest of the initiatives are general fund. The finance department has a request for $325,000 for a special attorney to represent the state's interest in the Northwest Airlines bankruptcy proceedings because of the state's involvement in the general obligation bonds that were issued to build the Duluth maintenance facility. The state has an interest in that, and they feel...
Were those Metropolitan Council bonds?
I believe that they're general obligation bonds.
Issued at some point?
Yes.
Okay. I don't have the history on it.
Okay. Sure. Obviously, there's two people here who think there are, so...
Check that out, also.
Okay.
And that's basically, I think, the state...
Looks like a vehicle for slots at the airport. Okay. Go ahead.
The last item, in addition to the veterans package, which you'll be hearing tomorrow, is the State Board of Investment has again requested a restructuring of the way that they are funded. This was in the governor's recommendation last year. Currently, they're funded through a direct general fund appropriation. They bill the retirement plans for their expenses, and those are deposited in the general fund. They'd like to go so where they can directly bill the plans and have those receipts deposited in their own operating fund. So basically taking them the majority of their funding off the general fund.
And we'll try to squeeze in, you know, the vets package we'll have tomorrow, so that'll be our hearing on the vets package. We'll try to squeeze in the other pieces so we know what we're talking about. And then when the discussion comes up in terms of do we have financing included or not, I think that decision will be made for us by other people not in the room, but it could go both ways. Okay, thank you for coming in and waiting. Did you find your items?
Mr. Chair, I did.
Okay, go ahead, Ms. Giancola. Do you have some numbers or some thought processes on time frame? And how long would it take? I think the question we had last week was how long would it take to quickly get the folks from admin services moved over? Is there a long bidding process and all that or not?
Mr. Chair, members, assuming a typical schedule that we would push along, our schedule goes from July of 06 to a move-in of January of 08. The Office of Administrative Hearings lease in Minneapolis expires in July of 2007, and so we would be extending their lease just 6 months to accomplish this project.
Okay, and how much money were we talking about to minimally be able to get them over?
Million.
A
total of $3.9 million, Mr. Chair.
Did administrative hearings have some more information for us in relation to using this space? I think you're anxious to move over this way, the way it sounds.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Bruce Johnson. I'm Assistant Chief Administrative Law Judge at the Office of Administrative Hearings. I have to say that Chief Judge Krause sends his apologies. He was unable to be here this morning. I believe I have either Chief Judge Krause or I have spoken with all the members of the committee about this project within the last couple of weeks, but So I won't go back and go through the whole scenario. It's essentially moving from rental space in Minneapolis that for next fiscal year will be $27.66 per square foot into the Stassen building where the rent is something over $15 a square foot at a considerable savings. The lease savings, though, we believe is only part of the story because Chief Judge Krause and Commissioner Salamone have been engaging in discussions, quite a few discussions over the last year, about sharing services between agencies. For example, we have some very high technology needs but a very limited technology staff. The Department of Revenue has a very good technology staff. I mean, these are the kinds of synergies I think we would be in a position to work with. We have no security now in Minneapolis. We could share security with the Department of Revenue. We could share conference rooms. We need, for example, a large courtroom for asbestos cases. They have a large conference room that would meet those needs. There are, we could share human resource management services. We are looking at a whole array of synergies and cooperative ventures that I believe would save, what would reduce operating expenses for both the Department of Revenue and for the Office of Administrative Hearings. So the lease savings are not inconsiderable, but we're looking longer range, I think, to some real savings in operating expenses. And I can just say, Mr. Chair, I've known a number of the members of the committee. 13 years ago, Governor Carlson asked me to chair a meeting of small boards and councils about co-locating and sharing services. And I'm probably not using hyperbole in saying that I was lucky to get out of that meeting with my life. And the problem, you know, we've been trying. I know the legislature has been trying. Three governors have tried continuously to try to get more coordination of services between agencies. This, I believe, is a wonderful opportunity. Between a large agency and what I would consider a medium-sized agency. So apart from the lease savings, I would just tell the committee, I think that is I wouldn't say the least beneficial effect of this project, but certainly not the only one. And I certainly answer any questions that the committee members may have.
Well, just to share something, we all have that had that type of experience. When I was mayor of Bovee, I tried to put the Bovee Coleraine fire departments together. I got tarred, feathered, and hung, and everything else when I went to that meeting. Oh, shebang.
I know Representative Kahn said she tried some co-locating at one time and didn't get too far.
I got called a racist on public television.
So maybe we'll try to do some gentle snudging in the omnibus bill or something. I don't know. I know it's been an ongoing issue for 20 years, but you would like to glean some savings out. The other question I had, Judge Johnson, was my understanding, you have full control now over campaign complaints that don't relate to what the Campaign Finance Board deals with, correct? What the old county attorneys used to have?
Mr. Chair, that is correct.
And you have complaints in a full election year this year, but you don't have the money is not carrying forward for you to be able to use. Is that correct, that we need to put something in the omnibus bill for you to carry that? Is it $60,000 or something?
Mr. Chair, when the legislation was first enacted, I guess two years ago, it called for, first of all, for elections that are local in nature, counties pay for the cost of the hearing. But for statewide and legislative elections, there was an appropriation from the general fund appropriation to the campaign board of $62,000 a year, or $65,000 a year, to fund hearings, those hearings. In the election that took place in November of 2004, out of that $65,000, we spent $42,000, and the rest canceled. However, this year, there are no statewide races, and we've been appropriated $65,000, but of course we won't spend a penny of it. We are somewhat concerned about next fall when all of the state, all the legislature and statewide races come up. Based on our experience with 42,000 2 years ago, we are a little concerned that 65,000 might not be enough, and what we would ask the committee to do is to essentially let us carry forward the unused 65,000 from this fiscal year into next fiscal year. And of course, if we don't, it's a drawing account. We don't keep the money. If we don't use it, it'll simply cancel. So that we would request, if there is going to be an omnibus finance bill, that the committee consider putting a provision of that effect in the bill.
Representative Hill, Decon, makes sense?
Yes.
Yes.
I think that, make a note of that, that for the omnibus bill, that makes sense. To, I didn't know that really is a finance as much as just carry forward some money that you already have from 05, correct?
Right. Correct.
Okay. Any questions? Okay, thank you for coming in, by the way, and we appreciate your service.
Thank you.
We'll be in touch. Thank you. Meeting adjourned.